Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Ben Trueblood, alongside Chris Swain, and we are in part two of a key relationships that you should have in the forefront of your mind as a student pastor, relationships that you need to work on. We all know that student ministry is a relational ministry, and so we're highlighting some of the important relationships that stand out above others, and if you haven't listened to the first part of this, it is episode four. Grab it, listen, and jump in with us as part of the conversation on the final two relationships that we're going to talk about, the relationship that you build and grow with the parents of students in your ministry, and then the relationship that you have with the students themselves. So let's start with parents, and parent ministry is a major topic of conversation in student ministry today. Some do it well, some are trying to do it well, but I think in large part, a lot of people are still asking the question, how do we do parent ministry? What are the key components of a good parent ministry? And the how is a huge part of it. My thought on this is the first thing that I would say in any relationship with parents or doing a good parent ministry, an effective parent ministry, is to communicate. And yes. I know that doesn't sound like a big ministry initiative or I'm going to build my parent ministry on communicating, but you can do more to build a relationship with the parents of students in your student ministry by communicating to them what's going on in and around the student ministry than anything else that happens, anything else that you'll do. If you will communicate clearly and often and make sure that everyone's on the same page, you're going to do yourself a huge favor.
Yeah, ministry to parents is it's very interesting. It took me a long time to realize as a student pastor that I was really a parent pastor. You know, I was really
for sure.
I really am supposed to be ministering to these parents because ultimately we know it's their role. They're the primary disciple maker of their kid. They're the one that is supposed to be discipling the kid. That's the biblical model.
Yeah. So how many years did it take you to say I'm going to focus on parents?
It probably took me 4 or 5 years in ministry before I realized that parents are really a big part of what I'm doing, if not bigger than the student focus.
Me too.
And so as a result of that, it really kind of opened a new door of ministry for me because when I did begin to minister to parents, when I did begin to see those relationships with parents as critical as they really are, that's when I began to see a lot more success in my ministry. And that's when I began to really impact students at a level that I had not originally. And so a few things that I would recommend just right out of the gate and thinking through how you can minister to parents, you know, the basics of pray for parents, pray for them by name, pray for the situations of circumstances you know they're going through.
Yep.
You know their students maybe as well as they do, or maybe better in some ways. You know the prayer requests that they have without them even having to ask. There are some parents that oftentimes I'd be like, oh, Lord, I am praying for this kid's mom and dad. He's going home to. I only have 1 hour a week with them. They have every day. So those are the opportunities. But take that seriously. Pray for parents. Pray for them specifically, and then encourage parents. Parents are in need of encouragement. They're in need to of knowing that the challenging role of being a parent is something that God has equipped them to do, that God is going to empower them to do, and that they do need to lean on Him to work through this time in life, but you're there to help them, to walk with them, to encourage them, and then to resource, give them some things that will help them as a parent. And whether that's some type of a resource that you put in their hand, or whether that's just showing them some different ways that they can parent, or providing for them opportunities to learn with other parents or connect with other parents, or even really just opportunities to connect with their student in a way that they may not feel comfortable. You know, sometimes I've challenged parents, hey, I want you to talk through these discussion questions. I've had an event where I had parents and students, and we were going to kind of walk through some things biblically and really do a study together, and to lay that out in front and have some questions there that I could see right out of the gate. This is a challenging situation in which parents and probably most namely dads are going to be very uncomfortable asking this question or having this conversation, because spiritual things can sometimes put parents in a position to really feel challenged. And sometimes it's because their student might be further along spiritually mature than the parent. And sometimes it's not something they address at home all that often. And so you got to be careful there, but do help equip them to minister to their student and give them opportunities to do that, and then offer them the help they need when they need it. Be there for them. Let them know that you're available.
Yeah, so let me ask you a question about that. A lot of times we hear, and this was true for both of us, because we still don't have teenage kids.
That's right.
All of our six children together, not together, but – 4 and 2.
Our separate families' children.
Yes. We all six of those are elementary age and under.
That's right.
And so part of the issue here is that I think why student pastors are apprehensive about really diving into this parent ministry is they're saying, look, I've never parented a teenager. Yeah. How am I supposed to be able to tell parents how to parent when I haven't parented? And what I would say to that is don't tell them how to parent.
The role of a student pastor,
really, and our role is not to tell them how to parent. It's what Chris was describing and coming alongside of them and giving them resources, pointing them to people and things that can help them. You're a listening ear. You are a partner in this thing with them to be able to say, hey, we're in this together. You're not just on your own. Mom and dad, or just mom, or just dad with this student. I'm here to serve you in this. And I think when student pastors, youth workers, as you're listening to this, when you take the posture not of how do I teach them to parent or how do I give them parenting principles, but how do I serve them? I think that puts you in the right spot to be able to have those open doors for conversations that they're going to come to you.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, that's it. Never undermine the parents of your students. And that's a mistake I think every student pastor, student leader has made one time or another. I know I have. And you always have to come back. It's always wrong. It's always bad. It never ends well. And so, you know, that's a great point. We're not called to parent the students in our ministry.
Yeah.
We're called to partner with parents as they are the primary disciple maker and to do what we can to encourage them and be that resource for them. And another thing I would suggest is to remember that parents and families in general have a lot going on in life. You know, our events and our programs, they are not, believe it or not, this may come as a shock, they are not the top concern for parents most often. Our events and programs are not the top concern for most parents and families. And so don't guilt parents and shame them into, you know, based on the involvement of their family. That doesn't mean you don't call them to accountability toward being a part of the body of Christ and regularly attending church and plugging into discipleship and serving and all of the things that we know, they ought to be involved in, but to do so in a biblical and a healthy way. You know, more awareness of their schedule in life is key. I've learned just recently, of what it means to serve full time at a church and to be on that side of the fence and really believe that, hey, everyone should be at everything I'm talking about because it's so awesome and it's right. And now I'm kind of on the other side of that fence as I'm not serving full time at a church, as I'm working at Lifeway and I'm serving part time in different ways in ministry, is to realize the challenge that I never fully understood as I served at a church that families can go through and the things that I was asking families to do. Oftentimes I look back and think I probably would have handled that differently if I had taken the time to be more aware of schedules and life of families and parents. And so I would encourage you, you know, less angst and laying on of guilt, more awareness of where parents are in life and to partner with them in that. You know, sometimes it's equipping them to accomplish what God has called them to do in the context that they're in, versus asking them to constantly cross over into our context. And so it's thinking through that and walking through that. And it's not easy. It's often difficult, but it's worth the challenge.
Yeah. So when we say the parents are the primary disciplers of their kids, I feel that for my own children. I know Chris does. And I know you as listeners, youth workers and youth pastors, you would say, yes, I agree that the parents are the primary disciplers of their kids. There's oftentimes one issue with that in that the parents don't know what it is to be discipled.
Right.
And so they haven't been discipled. And so when we say you're the primary discipler of your kids, it's a tremendous weight and burden that we're putting on them rather than something that we feel like is a good thing to say. And hey, we want to be your partner. You're the discipler. We want to come alongside you in that. And a lot of times they're saying, I don't know what that means. It's never happened to me. And so one of the things that I would say that student ministry ministry must move to if it's going to continue to be effective in today's world is that you need to see your role as a parent discipler as well as a student discipler. When you say yes to student ministry, when God calls you to that, really it is a calling to disciple parents and to lead them and to, again, not teach them how to parent, but just to disciple them, to show them what transformation in this Christian life looks like, to lead them to Jesus, to encourage them, to look at them the same way you would look at your students and say, okay, how can I build not only a strategic plan to disciple students in my ministry, but how can I build and what does a strategic plan look like for the discipleship of my parents? And here's the reality. If you spend more time focusing on the plan and executing discipling parents, you will reach more students than if you just focus on discipling those students.
That's
because
right.
The parents have them more than you do. The parents talk to other parents who have their students more than you do. When you disciple them, you'll be building relationships with them. You'll be communicating with them. They will become your biggest cheerleaders and the biggest cheerleaders of student ministry than you could ever have. And so student ministry is no longer about just discipling students and making sure they're going the way that they need to go. It is a discipling of parents as well, and probably could be argued to a higher degree than even discipling the students.
Yeah. And it's something that, you know, like I said, it took me a long time to recognize that. And hopefully you can learn from my mistake and to press into that earlier on in your student ministry leadership.
Absolutely. So let's talk about that last relationship, and it is the students. Okay, so we've covered in episode 4, we talked about the relationship with your pastor. We talked about the relationship with your spouse. We talked about relationship with your team, whether it be a staff team or a team of volunteers. We've talked about relationship with parents. So let's talk about relationship with students, because when most people enter into student ministry, it is this relationship that's
right
in the forefront of your mind.
That's right.
But the reality of that situation is if those other four relationships aren't at a higher priority than the relationship with your students, then you're never going to really be able to minister to students in the way that
that's
you
right
want to minister to them.
Right. And ministering to students, you know, one of the things we talk about a lot is relationships with students. And I've talked to student pastors who they get it. And I've talked to student pastors who say, man, I need to spend more time with my students. I need to develop more relationships with my students. And those are all good things. Relationships with students are key. Relational student ministry is key. You can, this is not a time where you can just kind of sit in your office, swing out, you know, have a Wednesday night worship experience or a Sunday night gathering or however it is that you do your ministry and say, okay, I've been successful. I've showed up. I've taught. I've preached. I've led a Bible study and now I'm kind of closing my door. Relationships are key, and your ministry is really only going to grow based on that relational aspect. But I would also argue that it's more than just relationships. You know, when you look at Jesus' model of ministry, he spent time with his disciples, but he didn't just spend time with his disciples. There's a time in my ministry where I had a group of guys I hung out with, and we had a lot of fun, and we did a lot of things, but I look back and think, man, I probably could have done more equipping and discipling and challenging, and I could have raised the bar more in the lives of these guys than I did. And so it's relationships, and it's more than just relationships in terms of reaching students and developing that relationship. And another thing I would say is we've got to understand the world we live in now. You know, it's a challenging time in a adult leadership position, especially in the church, especially in our culture, and the relationships we have with students. And so we've got to be careful. We've got to understand the context of ministry,
yeah,
and knowing the guidelines and the boundaries that are there. And everyone needs to be aware of that. Everyone needs to be thinking about that. But we can't let that impede us from developing those biblical relationships that allow us to pour into the lives of the students that we're called to lead.
Yeah. And so what you're describing with it's not just a relationship is you can't have just surface level, hey buddy, kind of relationships with
right
the whole ministry. There has to be a deeper level that you get to be able to encourage and challenge and disciple and be able to go to the issues and say, hey, how are you dealing with this? Or this is what God's word says in relationship to this specific issue student that you're dealing with. And so there must be a different level there. But I would say, too, that you're not going to have an incredibly deep relationship with all of your students.
Right.
There are going to be varying levels of relationship that you're going to have with the students in your ministry, and that's okay. There are going to be students that naturally want to dive more deeply into God's word than others. There are going to be students who just aren't really interested, and they're satisfied with being the hey buddy kind of they're just not too interested in you or in the ministry. They're just kind of showing up and being a part. What we have to remember is, even though there are varying levels of involvement and other students are going to seek out relationship with you more than others, is that that's okay, but that we don't forget that there are varying levels.
That's right.
And we don't spend all of our time with just the ones who want to go to a deeper level and who seek relationship out with us, that it's okay to do that, and it's okay to, you know, have the group, like as a student pastor, I had a group of six or seven guys that we met early before school started, before work started, every Thursday morning. And those are the ones that I had probably the closest relationship with than anybody else in the ministry. But still had to realize that I've got to maintain some kind of relationship with everyone, even though there's going to be some. So you can't focus all on the six, but you can't say, man, I'm not going to focus on the six so that I have a relationship with the whatever.
And that's exactly how Jesus did it. You know, he had his disciples, and then he had the three, and then he had the multitudes at times. So he navigated through that and gave us an example we can follow. And also, God's built each of us different. You know, if you're a former athlete, then there's a high chance that you're going to be drawn to the athletes in your ministry. And if you're a nerd, a former nerd like myself, then you're going to be drawn to the nerds in your ministry.
I noticed you put former in that.
Well, I said former athlete, so I kind of wanted to feel, no, I'm 100% nerd, but I think the reality is your personality type is going to dictate somewhat the deeper relationships that you have. But like you said, it should never pull you away from being available, reaching out to, discipling all of the students in your ministry and reaching them and raising the bar for them to say it's not just what we've been, but it's where God wants us to go, and training those students, being the example for them. That's why you're hanging out. That's why you're spending time. Yeah. You're enjoying the company. Yeah, you're having a good time. But ultimately, you know, Jesus spent time with the disciples, and he constantly pointed to what he was doing, how he was living, what he was walking through. And they, like me, didn't understand a lot of times. So he had to explain it to them very clearly and over again. But that's our role as their leader as well, to walk with them and to show them. And you can't be an example with someone if they don't see you walking that out. So that's the reason that you do need to have those relationships and walk with them.
And there's a very clear purpose there. It's you're not a student pastor just to be friend to students.
That's right.
There's a very clear purpose in leading them to Jesus and showing them what a relationship with him looks like and walking with them through life. It's not a friendship. It can be, but it's not first and foremost, I got into student ministry because I love students and want to be their friends. I got into student ministry because I want to see them change the culture in which they live. And I want to see students follow Jesus and give their lives to him. So, Chris, let me ask you this question. How did you respond throughout the years when someone would say, hey, this guy's got his favorites, or those are the favoritism thing?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting, because if you look at Jesus again, he kind of drew a wide variety of individuals, and some of those people were kind of closer to him in that. And so, you know, anytime someone would say, hey, you've got your favorites, I would argue that everyone has a group of, like we said earlier, you have a group of people that you identify more with. And if you watch the same shows I watch and you like to do the same things in your free time that I like to do, then we're probably going to be easier for us to have conversations.
Yeah.
We're going to look at the things the same way. But it's like that role with a parent. You're called to be a parent before you're a friend with your child.
Sure.
And we're called to be ministers before we're just friends with our students. And so in the midst of that, God's going to use us the way he's uniquely shaped us to have an impact on all of our students. But on some of them, it's probably going to be a little bit more significant. And I think if everyone were to think back, if you were in a student ministry growing up as a teenager, you would probably say, okay, any of the student leaders I had, they were either really close to me or I knew they were really close to so-and-so. And you can kind of see that. And that's just normal, natural, you know, human interaction. There's nothing wrong with that as long as we're aware of it and we're walking through it and we're not treating people differently because of who they are.
Right.
Then that's what I would say to those who would ask that question.
Yeah. And I always tried to think of it in, you know, yes, there are going to be some things that say, oh, those are the favorites, but it goes back to the preferential treatment.
Right.
So, like, are they getting preferential treatment because you have a deeper,
right,
closer relationship with them, or do you just have,
yeah,
a deeper, closer relationship?
And more,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, more often than not, you're probably challenging those closest to you more, with more, and raising the bar more on them because you have that relationship.
Yeah.
And so it's actually, most of the time, it's the opposite of what people would think, in terms of that kind of thing. But it can get tricky, and it's just important, like you said, the preferential treatment. That's the differentiator here in that conversation.
Yeah. I always tried to look at it and say, you know, as a student pastor, I have X amount of minutes to give. And that's just the way it is with the planning and, you know, all the other relationships that we've talked about, and the spouse and the pastor and the team and the parents, there are a lot of things that you're going to be doing as a student pastor. So that leaves your discipleship of student. And I'm not talking about from the stage. I'm talking about from,
right,
the one-on-one or a one-on-few discipleship environment. You're going to have very little time to do that. And so for me, I always wanted to cast a wide net and say, hey, if you want to be a part of this, that's going to be a deeper discipleship, more involvement kind of thing,
right,
cast a wide net. And the ones that come, I wanted to give the minutes that I had to the ones who wanted,
right,
to have the bar raised for them, to use the language you used just a minute ago. The ones who wanted to be a part of something more, that's where I wanted to give my time, because I only had so much time.
Right. And I think it's taking those opportunities, taking that time, training our students, and then unleashing our students to go and do the ministry, and ultimately trusting them beyond what we've been called to pour into. And in that relationship, all of these things we're talking about tie back into having that healthy relationship with the students in your ministry.
Absolutely. So, key relationships for a student pastor: with your senior pastor, with your spouse, with your team, whether it be staff or volunteer, with parents, and with your students. And like we've said, a lot of people get into student ministry with students foremost in their mind, and I want to have relationships, and I want to build and pour into students, and it's going to be amazing, and it will, and that is what you're called to do. But the most effective way to minister to the most students and reach the most is to make sure that those other four relationships are where they need to be, and you put the time that needs to be placed on those to build those. You can't minister to students if you don't have a good relationship with your senior pastor long term. You can't do it if you don't have a solid relationship with your spouse. You can't reach students and see what you want to see happen if you're not developing and building a team of people around you that rally around the vision, that follow you, and that you serve and get in the trenches together in student ministry. You can't really be effective in student ministry if you're not discipling and ministering to parents. And so all of those pour into your desire and your passion and calling to see students come to know Jesus and to see them as long life followers of him. Thanks for joining us on the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. We'll hope to see you next time. You can find the podcast on both iTunes and at lifeway.com/student ministry. We'll have a new episode for you every Thursday. So we look forward to hearing from you again. And you can find us on Twitter at Student Ministry. So we would love to hear feedback as well as topics that you would like for us to cover in the Student Ministry Podcast. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.